This podcast contains descriptions of violence against children and adult language and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Suffer the Little Children, the true crime podcast giving voices back to the victims of child abuse and shining a harsh spotlight on the parents, guardians, and caretakers who silenced them. I'm your host, Lane, and this is episode 113, Kion Jones. On May 7th, 2021, a helpless 7-week-old infant was reported missing from his mother's apartment in Washington, D.C., but police were alarmed when they learned that baby Kion Jones had been gone for 2 days by the time his disappearance was reported. After his mother gave several conflicting statements, both to police and to the public through a Facebook Live interview with a local activist and a news station, it became clear that Kion would not be located alive. This is the story of a baby boy who never stood a chance. It's also the story of a woman whose problems with drugs, alcohol, domestic violence, and mental illness made her the very last person who should be a parent, but who gave birth to several children, the last of whom was baby Kion. This is the frustrating story of Kion Jones. I'd like to take a moment up top to thank my newest patrons, Cassandra G. from Grand Prairie, Alberta, Canada, which is just a few hours' drive from my hometown, and Amanda B. from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you both so much for your support. I can't tell you how much I appreciate my patrons, whose pledges bring me closer and closer to my goal of devoting myself to the podcast full-time permanently. I'm doing everything I can not to have to go back to work full-time, because if I do, I don't think I'll be able to continue the podcast. If you'd like to make a pledge, please visit patreon.com/stlcpod. I initially covered Kion's story on Suffer the Little Children blog in May of 2021. I also told his story in Patreon-exclusive bonus minisode number 7, but in light of recent events surrounding his case, I decided to adapt that minisode into a regular podcast episode. Kion's story is just heartbreaking, and it took a sudden and shocking turn last month, so hold on for a gut-wrenching ride. Too many of the children I've covered on the blog and the podcast have been discarded like trash and reported missing. So many names come to mind. Noah Tomlin, AJ Friend, Frankie Gonzalez, Zara Baker, Thaddeus Saran, Nakota Kelly, Chance Peterkin, so many more. Sadly, Kion's name can be added to that list. Today's story hit the news on Friday, May 7, 2021, when LaDonia Boggs reported her son, Kion, missing. The Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department leapt into action, releasing information in the hopes of finding the baby. Kion was described as a black male infant with brown hair and brown eyes who was last seen in the family's residence in apartment 11 at 1511 Benning Road, Northeast. LaDonia told police she last saw her son on May 5th. He wasn't reported missing until 2 days later. An MPD spokesperson told reporters on May 8th that the criteria for an Amber Alert may not have been met in Kion's disappearance. A neighbor told the media,
"I hope they find the baby. That's all I can say. I hope they find the baby and bring it back safe. Whoever got it or found the baby, please bring it back."
Other neighbors said investigators went door to door, asking specifically if they had seen children's clothing. Neighbor Sabrina Quarles told NBC News 4,
"Knocked on the door and was asking, have you seen any clothes or anything thrown around, clothes? It was a baby missing. And so I was like, well, how old? They said 1 month old. And it just took me for a shock. So I was just lost for words at that point."
Police searched the area of the apartment building on Friday evening, looking for Kion. And over the weekend, a manned police cruiser remained in the parking lot on the property. A member of Kion's extended family, Quiana Walton, told Fox 5,
"It's very sad. We just hope if anybody has any information, they'll help us bring him home to his mom. His brothers and his sisters really miss him. I'm the grandmother of one of the kids. We just want him back home."
On the evening of Sunday, May 9th, Henderson Long, the founder of DC's Missing Voice and an activist for missing people, handed out missing flyers bearing Kion's face and details. He told WUSA 9 of Kion's disappearance,
"I would describe it as an urgent matter. I would describe it as a matter that needs the community's attention. If anybody knows of the whereabouts of this two-month-old, we encourage them to dial MPD's Command Information Center at 727-9099 or text anonymously to 50411.
It's not like me and you. Like, we can take care of ourselves. We can, you know, we can ask for help. A two-month-old is totally dependent on their surroundings. Given those facts, the little bit that I do know, we have to get out. We have to do something. We have to keep the community at a level of awareness, a high level of awareness. You never know who may know something and may come forward."
While passing out flyers, Mr. Long ran into Kion's mother and asked if she would do a Facebook Live video with him. He said,
"We were under the impression the mom is just going to talk to me and tell me, hey, can you help me find my child?"
What LaDonia did say, however, was very different and highly disturbing. LaDonia told Mr. Long and the CBS 9 news crew also present,
"The last thing that I remember was that I had rolled over and he was on my chest. After that, when I was asleep, rolled over, noticed that he was unresponsive, breathing, and I panicked. And after that, a lady called my phone and questioned me about the whereabouts about him. And I got frustrated about the situation, about him in the household. And she just was like, can she come and take a look at him? And after that, she came to the house. I went outside and talked to the lady out front on the porch. And we was just having a mutual conversation about him. And after that, she just was like, she just was gonna call me back. And she just left."
With a flat, emotionless, somewhat dazed affect, LaDonia described,
"So after that, I came back in the house. He was still in the bed. So after I noticed that he was unresponsive, wasn't breathing no more, I had took him outside to see if he wasn't breathing no more. And I noticed that he wasn't breathing no more. And when I came back in the house, I still noticed that he wasn't breathing anymore. So I went outside, I came back in the house and got a blanket and his car seat and wrapped up and took it outside and disposed of it in the trash. And that's what happened."
Highly unsettling was the way LaDonia described her son as "it." She said she didn't call anyone after this happened. When asked who called the police on Friday, LaDonia shook her head, and a man, later identified as Kion's father, standing just out of frame, spoke up, saying,
"I did."
Kion's father said in the video,
"I'm looking for my son. I'm still not satisfied until I find that body, whether or not he's dead."
The reporter asked,
"Do you know where the body is?"
LaDonia replied,
"No."
When asked if police knew the baby
didn't make it,
LaDonia once again said,
"No."
Near the end of the video, we learned that Kion was premature and stayed in the hospital for 1 to 2 weeks prior to being sent home. His father said that when Kion went missing, he was just over 7 weeks old. Mr. Long, shocked at the revelation, turned the video over to police, who at that point obviously began considering LaDonia a person of interest in her son's disappearance and suspected foul play. Sources say LaDonia's apartment was searched as part of the investigation. Mr. Long told a reporter he was glad LaDonia spoke with him and the news crew that was present, saying,
"This is so sad. Nobody wins. This actually shows that she has some humanness about her.
It shows she has some kind of decency in her, because she could have sat there and just told us nothing."
LaDonia reportedly has 5 other children. DC Child and Family Services acknowledged the fact that Kion had several siblings, but would not discuss their current status or location. On Monday, May 10th, DC Mayor Muriel Bowser announced that although Kion's mother was being questioned about the baby's disappearance, she had not been arrested.
The mother is being questioned about the child's whereabouts.
Is the mother a suspect or in custody?
She's the only person of interest.
Is she in custody?
She is not.
That afternoon, the Sheriff's Department in Charles City County, southeast of Richmond, Virginia, made a Facebook post that it was assisting the MPD in the search of a missing infant case at the waste management landfill. A helicopter hovered overhead as law enforcement officials, as well as cadaver dogs, sifted through trash and debris at the landfill, which is located about 150 miles from the apartment where Kion was last seen. The MPD also searched a landfill in Lorton, Virginia, as well as trash cans, dumpsters, and garbage trucks in the D.C. area. On Thursday, May 13th, MPD Chief Robert Conti announced that investigators were in possession of a video showing LaDonia Boggs throwing some items into the trash, although he did not specify what those items were. Chief Conti said the search of the waste management landfill would be suspended the same day, adding,
"Hopefully, we'll be coming to some resolution on that very soon. I know there's a lot of media reporting out on that. We're doing everything that we possibly can to locate this child at this point. I know there's some reports out there. Yes, the mother is a person of interest in this, and in fact, is the only person of interest at this time. So we're just working through that very carefully with our partners at the U.S. Attorney's Office to make sure that we do the things that we need to do as we move to the next step in this. This is just a tragic, very unfortunate case for this child to be unaccounted for these many days. I am hopeful and was hopeful and remain hopeful that perhaps, just perhaps, that this child is somewhere out there. And I want to make sure that we do everything that we can as the Metropolitan Police Department to locate that child if that child is alive. And unfortunately, if the child is not, that we hold people accountable in the event that we need to do that."
On the afternoon of May 14th, the same day I published my initial blog post about Kion's disappearance, multiple news outlets reported that LaDonia Boggs was arrested and charged with felony murder in connection with the disappearance of her son. She was scheduled to appear in court the following day. After that news came out, I took a deep dive into LaDonia's history, which revealed, among other things, multiple arrests for domestic violence. I'll start with what little personal history I was able to dig up on LaDonia Patrice Boggs, who was born on February 12, 1983, and is listed in court records as being 5 feet 4 inches tall and weighing approximately 120 pounds. She appears to have been employed from 2006 through 2008, and again from 2011 through 2013, as a retail associate at the Army and Air Force Exchange Service on the Bolling Air Force Base, which merged in 2010 with the Naval Support Facility Anacostia to create Joint Base Anacostia-Bulling. Her most recent job, although it's unclear if she is still employed with the same company, is listed on LinkedIn as a housekeeper with Moutier Services, a company that provides, according to its website,
"a broad range of contract services to federal, state, municipal, and commercial clients in the U.S. and abroad."
On one of LaDonia's various Facebook pages, she posted frequently about her children. One of her sons was apparently sentenced to a significant prison term, and her daughter became pregnant at a fairly young age. In one post on May 12, 2019, LaDonia wrote,
"I'm thankful for my beautiful kids. Without them, I would have nothing. I'm blessed that I had a chance to spend this wonderful day with just me and them, single mom doing single things."
A few months later, she wrote,
"Up early, about to do my last-minute shopping for back to school. Yes, I can't wait. These kids getting the hell out of here, because they've been getting on my damn nerves."
In other posts, she mentioned staying humble and spending a lot of time cooking and cleaning her own house. She also referenced her mental health, writing in January of 2019,
"Just got the phone call I've been waiting for. I've officially been diagnosed as crazy, LOL. But I already knew that. Now I can utilize these mental health services with my crazy ass."
After Kion's disappearance, a lot of people attacked LaDonia on her own Facebook posts, asking her on completely unrelated posts where the baby was and even leaving death threats. She appeared to respond to only one question about why she didn't contact the police when Kion died, replying that she was scared. Now, regarding Kion's disappearance, Recent court documents revealed that surveillance camera footage from the apartment complex showed LaDonia carrying a plastic bag, a cardboard box,
large enough to carry a two-month-old infant,
which contained what appeared to be a white cloth or blanket, and a car seat, to a dumpster.
The defendant was captured carrying these items through a door of the premises to the outside. Surveillance footage from the premises also captured the defendant at the trash dumpster. Moments afterward, the defendant was seen on surveillance footage re-entering the building without any of the above-described items.
According to the documents, LaDonia told police she did so out of panic, admitting she was on PCP and hallucinating when Kion died. Later, she backtracked on those statements, telling police the last time she smoked PCP was a day or two before she rolled on top of Kion and found him unresponsive when she awoke. Court documents reveal that on May 2nd, LaDonia texted Kion's father, saying,
"I wish I never had a baby by your anything ass."
The man responded with,
"Shit, and be like that, you're angry right now, and I told you about being that way, be patient with me, please."
LaDonia replied,
"Bitch, fuck you, N-word. You don't give two fucks about this baby you helped bring into the world, but I promise you, N-word, I'ma make your life a living hell."
An hour or so later, she texted him again, saying,
"I'ma be like,
female 3,
and turn this baby over to CPS.
Female 3 is, apparently, the first name of the mother of the man's other children. Evidently, LaDonia contacted Kion's father again on or about Tuesday, May 4th, telling him to pick up his son and to pack
all his stuff.
Kion's father, who lived elsewhere but occasionally stayed with LaDonia at her apartment, did not comply. The following day, LaDonia contacted him again, saying Kion would be gone for a long time because DC Children and Family Services Agency, which she referred to as CPS, had taken the baby. The same day, May 5th, LaDonia called Kion's father, this time telling him the baby was gone. When he asked where Kion was, LaDonia hung up on him. She then called him back, saying CPS took the baby, a story that was allegedly backed up by a child in the background of the call. LaDonia spent that night in a hotel room with Kion's father, giving the man the false name of Wanda Davis as the CPS caseworker who took Kion. Wanda Davis is actually the name of a relative of Kion's father, a woman who lives in Las Vegas. The man contacted the CFSA, asking for information about his son, and was informed the agency had not taken custody of the baby. On Thursday, May 6th, Kion's father contacted the National Center for Children and Families to ask for a social worker to investigate his son's whereabouts. NCCF also informed him that CFSA did not take custody of Kion, after which the man called the CFSA hotline to report his concern about his missing son and about LaDonia's drug use, which he said had become worse recently. Later that day, DC police conducted a welfare check for Kion at LaDonia's apartment, at which time LaDonia told officers Kion did not live there. She insisted no small children lived with her, and police left. According to records, at least 8 people lived at LaDonia's apartment, including LaDonia herself, her 23-year-old son who was incarcerated at the time, and children aged 18, 14, 9, 5, and 1, in addition to Kion himself. On May 7th, CFSA visited LaDonia's apartment, where she told them Kion was removed by CPS. When CFSA checked their records, they confirmed that Kion was not removed by their agency. Caseworkers spoke with LaDonia's other children, who said their mother told them CPS took Kion. One child also mentioned that LaDonia appeared to be under the influence of some substance, and said the last time they saw the baby was on Tuesday, May 4th. At that point, CFSA contacted the MPD to report Kion missing. When police responded to the residents, LaDonia told them a lady from CPS had shown up in a blue Toyota and taken custody of Kion, taking with her the infant's car seat, clothes, and formula. Court records stated,
"The defendant also told CFSA and the police that a person who did not have a badge took the decedent. She gave varying accounts on when the decedent was removed, first saying it was during the nighttime, and then saying it was daytime. The defendant reported that the lady had gotten an anonymous call that the defendant was using drugs and neglecting the child."
When asked by police for contact information for Kion's father, LaDonia initially said she did not have his phone number and hadn't spoken to him in a month, but she ended up giving them his number. Kion's father told police he was worried about LaDonia's increasing drug use and admitted he used PCP with her recently. However, LaDonia told police she was not under the influence of anything, saying she had been sober for a year. When interviewed at the police station that evening, LaDonia told investigators that Wanda Davis from CPS took her baby several days before, saying the baby's father told Wanda to take custody of Kion. She said she gave Wanda all of the baby's belongings during the 11 p.m. visit. LaDonia said she hadn't called Kion's father to tell him about the custody exchange, that she hadn't seen him all week, and that all of her other children were outside when Wanda made her visit. Then, LaDonia changed her story, saying she had given Kion to his godmother because she found it impossible to cope with caring for the 2-month-old baby. She did not have the woman's contact information or their text exchanges, however, because she deleted them. When police contacted the woman, who was the paternal grandmother of one of LaDonia's other children, she said she did not have the baby. Subsequently, LaDonia admitted she knew the woman did not have her son. Once again, LaDonia changed her story, telling police she gave the baby to her friend who lived on Good Hope Road, saying,
"I didn't want my baby because me and his father was going through whatever we was going through."
Investigators found no one living on Good Hope Road with the name LaDonia provided them, and she was unable to produce the friend's phone number. Finally, after giving the police multiple stories, and she wasn't finished spinning tall tales, by the way, LaDonia admitted that Kion was in bed with her when she woke up to find him not breathing. She said she wrapped the baby in a blue blanket and threw him in the dumpster outside the apartment building. Then she added that she had rolled on top of Kion when she was asleep, and that she gave all of his clothing to a neighbor with a baby around the same age. As I mentioned, LaDonia wasn't done making shit up. According to the court documents,
hours after her interview was completed, the defendant contacted a homicide detective and reported that she had given the decedent to one of the individuals she has previously named.
On May 8th, LaDonia evidently contacted the MPD, telling them the baby died in her home when she was sleeping in the same bed with Kion and woke up to find her stomach was on top of him and he was not breathing. She told investigators she was on PCP at the time and had been hallucinating that day. On Saturday, May 15th, the day after LaDonia was arrested and charged with both felony murder and tampering with evidence, she appeared before Judge William M. Jackson. By the time the hearing was over, only LaDonia's charge of tampering with evidence stood, and she was released on no-cost bail into pretrial services. The tampering charge is based on the allegation, as written in the complaint document, that
on or about May 5th, 2021, within the District of Columbia, LaDonia Boggs altered, destroyed, mutilated, concealed, and removed an object, that is, body of KB, a baby of approximately 7 weeks of age, knowing and having reason to believe that an official proceeding was likely to be instituted with the intent to impair the integrity and availability of that body for use in the official proceeding.
According to a spokesperson for the D.C. Superior Court, it was their understanding that a felony murder charge must come before a grand jury, which would then decide whether or not to indict LaDonia for murder. One condition of LaDonia's pretrial release was that she stay away from children, including her own and her 1-year-old grandchild, unless another adult was present. NBC4 Washington reported that
prosecutors opted not to pursue a murder charge
against LaDonia, but I don't believe that's quite accurate. A lot of people, including myself, were incensed that LaDonia's murder charge was dropped, but based on information I cobbled together from news sources, the D.C. Superior Court online case lookup, and a private law firm's website, here's what I think happened. Keep in mind, though, I'm not an attorney or any other kind of law expert. The online docket stated that on May 15, 2021, the original charges were filed, along with a replacement Gerstein affidavit. Since I had no clue what that was, I dug into it. According to the Scrofano Law website,
for almost all felony charges, the prosecution can ask for a 3-day hold, and the judge is required by law to grant it if the judge finds probable cause for the offense. The judge will only review something called a Gerstein affidavit, which is the officer's sworn statement setting out the facts they allege make probable cause for the offense. In almost all cases, the judge finds probable cause at the initial stage of a case.
My best guess is that in this case, because Kion's body hadn't been found, and because of LaDonia's constant morphing of what she reported as the facts, no one can determine which, if any, of her version of events is the truth. Therefore, it's entirely possible that due to LaDonia's ever-changing stories, the judge couldn't find probable cause for an actual murder charge based on the Gerstein affidavit and opted to release her. It's clear something happened to this baby, but what actually happened is anything but clear.
I have to assume the judge wasn't willing to stake it all at this stage in the game, especially considering Kion's remains hadn't been found. When or if the baby was located, particularly if his cause of death could be determined, that would most likely change things drastically. If he was never found, it would be entirely up to the grand jury to decide if there's enough evidence to indict LaDonia for the intentional murder of her infant son. On Monday, May 17th, LaDonia was appointed attorney Rachel Sicarel, who replaced her short-lived representation by attorney David Knight. For what it's worth, I took a peek at LaDonia's criminal history, which in the District of Columbia stretches all the way back to 2003 when she was charged with simple domestic assault. That case was closed as no-papered, which means the government decided not to file charges despite LaDonia's arrest. In May of 2008, LaDonia was charged with misdemeanor possession of a controlled substance. Her charge was disposed after she voluntarily completed a drug court. A year later, however, she was charged again with misdemeanor possession of a controlled substance. For her guilty plea to a reduced charge of attempted possession of marijuana, LaDonia was sentenced to 60 days suspended time, 16 hours of community service, a $50 fine, and another year of probation, which included the following conditions: drug testing, drug treatment program, traffic alcohol program, community service, general education diploma preparation, maintain or seek employment. LaDonia was ordered to perform her 16 hours of community service after completing the drug program at Second Genesis, a Washington-based drug treatment facility offering inpatient and outpatient programs. By September of that year, LaDonia had already violated her probation, so in October, she was sentenced on a misdemeanor charge of attempted possession of a controlled substance to 60 days in jail and another $50 fine. In 2010, she was charged in Maryland with second-degree assault, but those charges were later dropped. LaDonia apparently managed to keep her nose clean, so to speak, or I was unable to turn up court records proving otherwise, until September of 2015, when she was charged in D.C. with misdemeanor destruction of property less than $1,000. This was a doozy of a case that dragged on for almost 4 years. During the proceedings, a stay-away order was issued against LaDonia, who was ordered to be screened for drugs on a regular basis. She tested positive on December 15th, 16th, and 18th of 2015 and was ordered to complete 6 Narcotics Anonymous/Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. She did so, but she failed to report for a drug test on January 15th, 2016, and tested positive the following day, after which she was placed on a waiting list to receive residential treatment, which she entered at Phoenix House in March of 2016. She was also given grief counseling and trauma counseling in order to receive an X-ray, neither of which was explained in the court docket I viewed. In April of that year, she incurred her 22nd failure to report for drug testing, for which she was required to spend 2 nights in jail. The same month, LaDonia accepted a diversion agreement in exchange for her guilty plea. By May of 2017, she had failed to complete her diversion program and was sentenced to 45 days in jail, $50 in fines, a $200 restitution payment to the victim, and 12 months of probation with the conditions of drug testing and treatment as deemed appropriate, as well as a continuing stay-away order. By October of 2017, LaDonia had once again violated her probation, but she forgot to show up for the court hearing scheduled for the following month. In April of 2018, LaDonia, who was by then on a GPS monitor, was directed to enter the Next Step program, an intensive outpatient drug treatment program. Her supervised probation was extended until November of that year, and again until January of 2019. In September of 2018, LaDonia had not drug tested in over a month, nor followed through with the recommended resources. Her attorney then, Heather Pinckney, told the court that her client had been struggling and did not know how to ask for help, saying LaDonia's probation officer, John McLean, had agreed to work with LaDonia to help her become compliant once again with her probation. By February of 2019, LaDonia was apparently doing well, back in compliance with probation, and had a case manager who was working with her and performing home visits. Even so, due to some scheduling conflict between LaDonia's outpatient treatment program and her participation in an employment program, her probation was terminated as unsuccessful in July of 2019. In the meantime, in September of 2017, a warrant was issued against LaDonia, who was arrested on another charge of destruction of property less than $1,000. As a condition of her pretrial release for this charge, she was once again placed into inpatient treatment, and in January of 2018, she entered a guilty plea and was sentenced the following month to a suspended sentence of 75 days, a $50 fine, restitution to the victim of $158.63, and 12 months probation with the conditions of another domestic violence stay-away order, alcohol testing, drug testing, a mental health evaluation, and maintaining or commencing her education. In short, this is a woman with a significant history of issues with drugs, alcohol, domestic violence, and possibly mental illness. Up till that point, until the last week of April in 2022, there were no developments in Kion's story, but the latest update is nothing short of jaw-dropping. At around 2:52 a.m. on Wednesday, April 27, 2022, 39-year-old LaDonya Patrice Boggs was found dead in the doorway of an apartment at 1511 Benning Road Northeast, known as the Aziz Bates Court Apartments, the same complex where Kion was last seen. LaDonya, who suffered from an apparent stab wound, was already dead when D.C. Fire and Emergency Medical Services responded to the apartment building. After paramedics found no signs consistent with life, LaDonya's body was taken to the office of the chief medical examiner. Later the same day, the Capital Area Regional Fugitive Task Force located and apprehended 44-year-old Carl Bernard Jones, Kion's father, who had never been named up till that point in any of the news articles about Kion's disappearance. Carl was charged with second-degree murder while armed. According to the Metropolitan Police Department,
this offense was domestic in nature.
Carl, who was born on August 24, 1977, has a significant criminal history dating all the way back to May of 1996, when he was convicted of felony possession of cocaine with intent to distribute at the age of 18. He was sentenced to time served in that case, but when he was convicted of the same offense later that year, the court was less lenient, revoking Carl's probation and sentencing him to 4 months in prison. In 1998, Carl faced multiple misdemeanor charges that were ultimately dismissed, as well as a felony charge of making domestic threats that was also dropped. The following year, he was convicted on a charge of felony possession of heroin with intent to distribute, although his sentence of 10 to 30 months in prison was suspended. A few months after that, one charge of cocaine possession with intent to distribute was dismissed, although he was convicted on another identical charge and, for some reason, given another 10 to 30 month suspended sentence. Carl's offenses began dipping into the domestic violence arena in 2003 when he was first charged with simple domestic assault, although the charge was dismissed later that year, as was another count of the same in 2004. A kidnapping charge from the same year, however, was prosecuted, leading to a guilty plea and a prison stint of up to 26 months. In 2014, Carl was charged with domestic violence, simple assault, and theft, both of which were dropped, as were charges in 2015 of attempting to possess a prohibited weapon, simple assault, and attempted threats to do bodily harm, and domestic violence charges in 2016 of assault with a dangerous weapon, simple assault, and threats to do bodily harm, and another simple assault charge in 2017. I can only imagine all of these domestic violence charges were dismissed because the victim, for whatever reason or reasons, decided not to pursue them. In 2020, Carl was charged with domestic violence destruction of property under $1,000. He was arrested twice for failure to appear for that charge, to which he ultimately pleaded guilty in March of 2022. In the meantime, in January of 2022, Carl was hit with another domestic violence charge, this one a contempt charge for violating a stay-away order, although that charge was later dismissed. His probation on an earlier charge was violated, and he received a suspended sentence of 180 days, as well as to submit to drug and alcohol testing and a mental health evaluation, on top of staying away from the unnamed victim. If I had to guess, although I don't have proof of it, I'd guess that victim was probably LaDonya. In early April, just a few weeks before LaDonya's murder, Carl violated his probation and was scheduled for a hearing on May 4th, but for obvious reasons, he didn't make that hearing because he was by that time being held for allegedly stabbing LaDonya to death. Carl Jones is currently being held with no bond in the D.C. Department of Corrections Central Detention Facility on D Street Southeast. He is scheduled for a preliminary hearing on June 9, 2022 in the murder case, which awaits an indictment from a grand jury. Judge Milton C. Lee, Jr. is currently overseeing Carl's case, and he is represented by appointed attorney Elizabeth Weller. Police say the investigation into both Kion's disappearance and LaDonia's death are ongoing. Another article I found at the last minute revealed that during her pregnancy with Kion, LaDonia used PCP, which is a mind-altering drug that can cause hallucinations, and which she continued using after his birth. She described some issues Kion had, including digestive problems and excessive crying, both of which could indicate the baby was born addicted to drugs. A police officer investigating Kion's disappearance wrote in his affidavit that a
pediatrician at Children's National Medical Center advised that co-sleeping may result in death, the risk of which may be increased when a parent is under the influence.
To this date, Kion has not been found, and his mother was the only person of interest in his disappearance. Anyone with information about his disappearance is asked to contact the MPD at 202-727-9099. May of 2022 marks 1 year since anyone saw Kion alive. No matter what actually happened to him, this little guy deserved better. Rest in peace, baby Kion. We will remember you. My sources for this episode were ABC 7 News, WUSA 9, Shore News Network, 6 News Richmond, Fox 5, NBC News 4 Washington, CBS 12, WTOP News, the D.C. Superior Court Online Case Search, ScrofanoLaw.com, WDVM, Facebook, the Motier Services Incorporated website, the Metropolitan Police Department, the D.C. Line, D.C. Court View, and VineLink. That's it for this week. Join me next week for another episode. If you like the show, please follow or subscribe to Suffer the Little Children on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Spreaker, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast listening app. And please leave me a 5-star rating and a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. Visit the website at sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com, where you can listen to episodes or become a patron for rewards ranging from a shout out by name on the show to bonus content and exclusive gifts. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest at sufferthelittlechildrenpod. And on Twitter and TikTok at STLCpod. View photos related to today's episode on Facebook and Instagram. For more stories like the one you heard today, visit SufferTheLittleChildrenBlog.com. This podcast is researched, written, hosted, edited, and produced by Lane. All music for the show is licensed from AudioJungle.net. Email tips, comments, questions, or case suggestions to sufferthelittlechildren.pod@gmail.com. For more information about preventing or reporting child abuse, visit childhelp.org or call your area's child abuse hotline. If you see something, say something. Until next week, bye everyone.